The first step in getting closer to God is to realize that you need to or that you want to. And the second step in getting closer to God is to realize that it's possible. I want to encourage you to check out my book, Getting Closer to God, Anthologies from the Forefront Trilogy, Book 2. I think this will really be helpful to you in your pursuit of the Lord and help you understand what I learned over the first 30 plus years of my life as a believer, as a minister, and as a missionary in a lot of the countries of the earth. Check it out. Anthologies from the Forefront, Book 2, Getting Closer to God. It's on Amazon.
Welcome to From the Forefront, an FX Missions podcast. Stories about courageous souls who felt the call of missions and obeyed.
Hi, Scott McClellan with FX Missions, and we're on location. Where are we at?
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
San Nicaragüita.
Okay, I don't really know that song. But yeah, I'm here with three people who are half my age and three times my IQ. Or something like that. Anyway, we are on location at Intensivo de Liderazgo in Nicaragua, 2018, and we've cornered up some ladies to talk to us about the future of missions and other stuff like that. They're from the emerging generation. I don't know, what do you guys call yourselves? Generationally wise?
I think we're Generation X, aren't we?
Or Y. Wait, Y, millennials.
I don't know if we're millennials.
We don't know what we are.
They're very young compared to me. Let's just put it that way.
You can judge by the
millennials we are.
Okay, so you were born around the turn of the millennium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Around the
yes.
turn
yes.
of the millennium.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're all.
We are.
We won't ask your exact age. I know that sometimes that's not cool. But anyway, here we are. And so we have three of these ladies, and I'm so outnumbered right now in every way. Let me know if I need to run. Okay. So why don't you individually introduce yourselves, tell us your name and what you're up to, where you're from, and just a few things about you, and we can do that one by one.
Well, my name's Angie, and I will say my age. I'm 22 years old. I am from Nicaragua, but my parents are Mexican, so I'm like half Mexican too.
Okay.
So yeah, I've lived all my life in Nicaragua, and currently I am an English teacher. I'm about to become like a full-time teacher.
Okay.
I can say it for preschoolers. Wow. So yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Welcome, Angie.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Okay. My name is Amanda. I am 20 years old.
Okay.
Right now I am involved in college.
Okay.
And this semester I will finish my first year. I'm studying political science. Because I believe that God called me to be part of politics and be a woman of change. Mm. So right now, that's why that's what I'm doing right now, preparing myself to get involved in politics.
And you're also from?
I'm from Jinotega.
Jinotega, where is Jinotega?
The north, the mountains of Nicaragua.
Okay.
Yes.
I know Jinotega, but I'm just
I love the weather. The weather
is
perfect.
Oh, it's so nice there. So nice there.
Okay, and my name is Sarah.
Sarah.
Hello.
Welcome.
I don't know my name. I'm 20 years old.
20, okay.
I am from Louisiana. I moved down here recently in January, beginning of January, to teach a bilingual class with Angie.
Okay.
I have been doing missions all my life because my parents are missionaries, so...
Oh, wow.
It's not the first time I've been out of the country, but it's the first time I've been living out here. So
okay,
it's a good experience.
Cool. Well, that's cool. Hey, just a question about Louisiana.
Okay.
Can your mom cook a gumbo?
The best one.
I need to be chicken and sausage. What does she go for?
Everything but okra.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't like
not okra
in my gumbo.
It's really good. She makes the best, I think.
Okay. Gumbo is like this special food from Louisiana, and it is wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Well, we didn't kind of talk about gumbo, but it does make me hungry. I don't hear about gumbo. Thank you guys for being here. Just want to take some minutes here as we're talking a little bit earlier.
about maybe the perspective of what is a missionary, what does missions look like? How does that compare to the way missions were before? I know maybe each of you have exposure. All of you have come yes. from missionary exposure and involvement. And, you know, for old guys like me who are trying to stay current, we want to know, like, what are people thinking and how are they seeing things and how are things changing and how should they change? Not to disrespect the generations who've come before us, but what do we feel like God's calling us to do? Or, you know, how might that be different than what we have seen others do historically?
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yes, it does. It does. I'm going to try to be quick. Sometimes I'm long. I take a long time. But, well, basically missions for me is, well, a person that's on a mission. That person has a special assignment. That's if we were to look at the word just from a worldly and general perspective. Uh-huh. I also think that with Christians, it's the same thing. I mean, we're on a mission, but I think that the main mission is to preach the gospel of Christ. I always remember as a child to have this verse on my mind. I think it's Mark 16:15 or 15:16 mm-hmm. that says to go to all the world and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I remember having that very clear in my mind. Well, the first reason was because my parents were basically doing it. Mm-hmm. And the second reason was because I just felt that conviction from God to do it. But I remember always thinking, no, that's not something that I want to do. And I was always holding on to that idea of, even if you're a pastor's kid, you're not supposed to do the same thing your parents do. And I was always thinking, that's not something that I'm going to do. I'm just going to be like everybody else. But of course, that changed. And it's obvious because I'm here and I'm talking about this. And well, I really, really do think that the way that we do missions has changed. I wish I could say a lot more because of experience, but I'm just going to say what I think and according to what I've seen. Mm-hmm. So I've always had this perspective on missions that it's that you leave your family behind and you are clear of the fact that you may not see them again, or you may not see them as often, and you move to another country and you preach the gospel. And basically what you do is that you're involved in a church according to what your calling is, and you function in that church in that way. But lately, my perspective has been changing a little, not in the sense that I think we're not called to do that, because I know we are, but the world is changing a lot. And it's not as easy to go and move to another country like it used to be in the past. It's easier to travel. That's a fact. Yeah. But we can't just say, oh, I'm just going to move to Canada tomorrow and then do it. Yeah. Because there's like more laws and protection. And so what I believe is that you have to go into a place and have a mission, have a goal that will somehow benefit the country and then preach the gospel alongside. And that's kind of what I'm still working on. But I think my friends have more to say.
Hey, one question before you pass it off. You've been on some short-term trips.
I have.
Yeah, so, and you've been to a few countries.
Yes.
Any you want to mention, or anything that comes to mind when we talk about that?
Well, all of my missions trips have been very, I've gone to different churches and seen how church is done there. And I have seen the difference, like, in comparison to what we do here.
Right.
I think the last missions trip that I went on was the most interesting one, because it wasn't actually a missions trip, but it was more like an exploration trip. And what we did is that we went to a place in the east.
Okay.
And we got the chance to kind of see just how life is in general and get an idea of what we could do and how we could go about either doing short-term missions or long-term. But definitely one of the things that I've encountered in all of this is that you can't really know or be completely prepared on how to do the work until you're there. Mm. You can prepare on certain things, for example, the language and just in the way that you adapt to a place. But according to what you're supposed to do, you don't really know the exact need until you're there.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I've learned. If you want to do it in a good way, then you have to either speak to someone that knows about it or move there and get a better idea.
Right. Get acquainted with the idea.
Yeah, with the problems. Yeah. Because you hear a lot on the news.
Yeah.
But it's never the same.
Right.
Only the people that live there know what the real need is.
Right. So. Wow. That's cool. Some of those countries, like you say, are closed now and you are having trouble. You know, what used to be more of an open, go do whatever, whenever, wherever.
Yes.
That's not like that
anymore. No, it's not.
And we're needing to be more strategic, too. I think what you're saying is having a strategy to address the needs.
Yes.
You know, along with the gospel, right?
Yes.
So the gospel as a, maybe in these closed country environments, the gospel is coming at the individual level, at the one-on-one level, at the one-on-a-few level, and not on like, hey, we're going to put up a steeple, ring a bell every Sunday morning, and see if we can get anybody to come down here besides Very cool.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we never lose perspective, like that we always know what the main goal is, whatever we do.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amanda, you want to tell us anything about your experience with missions or your acquaintance? I mean, anything about like your perspective on missions and maybe what's brought you up to this point?
Actually, yes, I did. It was like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to go to El Salvador and did a DTS.
Okay.
Discipline training school. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly on working on your character. And it was really hard at the beginning because it was my first time living in the country where I didn't even know any single person there. But what gave me the ease in my heart is that I knew that they were Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is that because God sent me there.
Yeah.
And so there were like 5 months. By one of the 2 months, they were for practice and, you know, going out and preach and do social service and a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to travel with my leader to Cuba, which was really interesting. First, I was afraid. Because, you know, I heard a lot of things about Cuba. Be careful because the police are going to take you. Be careful that, you know, just.
Yeah.
And so I remember that when we get at the airport, even though I know I speak Spanish, their accent was different. It was like, I don't understand Spanish, but I do know Spanish. And so, you know, we went to the house that are going to say that. But like a lot of interesting things happened there. And so to the first church that we went to, I was praying and praying, say, God, what do you want me to show about this place? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to speak to them? And so while I was praying, God showed me a vision.
Mm.
And it was about the church that it was all black. And then he showed me that prayer has like a big power. And he said the more they pray, the more it was a green smoke that was coming out of the church.
Mm.
And then I said, God, what does it mean? And he said, it's because all the people are stop looking and stop doing good things. And they're like trying to just, they think that just by going to church, they're doing good things, you know?
Mm.
And so I said, okay, God, keep talking to me. I want to understand like deeply. And he said the green smoke represents the sin. And I'm really sad because my presence cannot be there in that church, though it's my church.
Yeah.
So it was really hard, but I needed to church at the church.
Yeah.
It was really difficult.
You shared it
with, and the pastor was there. And at first I was like, God, I don't want to do it because, you know, maybe the pastor going to feel offended or stuff. But I said, well, I had to do it. So I did it.
Wow.
But the pastor, his reaction was like, okay, that's very interesting. Because today, my preaching was it was a Sunday morning. He's like, well, my preaching for today was green smoke. It was like, wait, green? Yes, the green that you saw, but also a gray smoke. I was like, interesting. And he's like, I'm going to explain you what the green smoke is. I say, well, he said, I saw the green smoke coming out of the church. And then I saw the gray smoke, that it was the presence of God here.
Oh, wow.
And so there were two things connected. And I was very like so surprised because God showed me something in a different country.
Yeah.
And after that experience, I spent a whole month there. My worldview about missions changed. I thought that mission was like, oh yeah, he comes from a different country, he's a missionary.
Right.
He comes from a different, he's a missionary. That's a missionary, you know.
Right.
But now, like, now that I'm 20, that I have like read a lot of the Bible and heard a lot of experiences, I think that we all have the commitment to go and preach. But I think that for me, there are different type of missionaries. 24/7.
Right.
When a call, God called you to be a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also that you can be a missionary in your work field or okay. in just in school or whatever you are at.
Right.
And so for me, it was really difficult because I knew that God called me to go to a college, get prepared and go to politics.
Right.
But people, like even Christian people were like, are you sure that God's the one speaking to you? Are you sure that you want to do missions like that in politics? Why right. don't you stay like 24/7 like us? I'm like, God doesn't want me that, you know.
Yeah.
I know that I have to go and preach, but one of the preaching has to be my testimony,
right?
You know,
right?
And so I said, well, at the beginning, I was really frustrated. I said, God, what's going on here? People are telling me to stay, but I know what you told me to do. So I decided, you know what, I'm gonna do missions, but the way that God wants me to do. And so now, like, thinking about like even though money, like the first thing I like for me that talk about missions, it's money. Do I really have money, or what do I have in my budget? You know, so because the first thing, okay, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
And so I think that when God is the one who's calling you to do it, He's going to provide.
Yes.
I'm 100% sure of this, and
yeah.
I experienced it,
wow.
and when I was like traveling to El Salvador to do my school. It was $600,
ooh.
Which it did have zero. So, okay, God, how am I going to do this? I only have a week left. What can I do?
Yeah.
And then I said, God, will you send me an airplane that I can go? You know, I provide me to get an airplane and to be comfortable. And so praying and praying. And you know what? In 1 week, he provided someone else paid my plane ticket.
Wow.
And it was all comfortable. And then I had
he
to
even
work.
Answered the comfortable part.
I know.
He knows what ladies like.
Oh, yes, he knows me. And so also, I only had $500. Uh-huh. I knew only 100 left. So I was like, God, what can I do? You know, you just show me something. So I remember one day I was on my bed doing nothing. And so my friend called me. And so my friend called me. Amanda, what are you doing right now? I'm like, just laying on my bed. Amanda, get up. You have to work. I'm like, what do you mean? Yes, I got a job for you. A team is here and they want to hire you. And I said, uh-huh. For 2 days, you're going to get paid $100.
Wow.
I was like, okay, then I'm going to get ready and go. And so, yeah. And so I met the team. It was really, and it wasn't like a difficult job. It was just, you know, to get to know them and translate for a few churches. But it was something that God showed me, that when God calls you to mission, it's not necessary that He's going to provide, like, okay, here's the money.
Right.
He showed me that I have to work as well.
Right.
And then He showed me to appreciate the money. Because a lot of times when people just give you things, it's not that, like, you don't appreciate it. There
right.
it goes. Oh, someone else paid, you know. But when you actually, you know, earn the money, it's like, I better take care of my money.
You haven't yourself invested in that.
Oh, right? Yes.
For sure.
But yeah, I've seen God in missions really deep. And also my other concept as a young girl is that we need to be sure that God is the one who's calling us to do missions, because like I was, as I was saying early, I can get in missions and say that God told me to do missions, you know, and say, okay, well, I'm gonna be a missionary now 24/7, when God, He didn't say anything about, you know, while you getting involved in missions. So because a lot of people, they get involved in missions because they don't want to do what God have them called to do, you know, say, okay, go there, go, like Jonas did.
Jonah,
like Jonah did. I'm going to try to escape from God and do something else. Because I was like, no, you don't belong there. You come here.
Right.
So I'm saying this because I've asked, I like to ask a lot of questions to people. to missionaries and to different type of people. And they say, yes. You know, and one, there was, I remember one girl who shared this, and she's like, I'm going to show you something really deep. I'm involved in missions because I don't know what to do with my life. And I say, really? I was like, the first time I heard this. And she was crying, and she said, well, it's just, I'm afraid because I'm already, I think she was like 23 or 24. I'm afraid that I will never find a purpose in my life. So I just decided to get involved in missions and, you know, try to find my place in earth. And I was really surprising because I was like, wait, I thought that God was the one who brought you here. No, he didn't. I don't even know what to do. So that day, it changed everything. So I know that who's the one who's calling into missions,
right?
You know, and what type of missions. And so, as I was saying before, God called me to do missions in politics.
Right.
So there are different. Cool. Yeah, it feels like you can do missions as well.
Well, you're being led, right? And I think what you're saying is, no matter if you do this or you do that or you do the other thing, it's important that you be led by God into
it,
right? Even if, and I want to say to you, even if it seems a little bit unusual to them, that if you feel that God's leading you and you are following him in that way, you should take courage because, you know, David was in politics, right? He was a king. I think that, you know,
and
he was
Esther,
you know, so many were many spheres in the scripture, you know, that God wanted to bring influence to.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. So thank you for that, Amanda.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Really? I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I know you've had a lot of experiences and exposure to folks, and I think that's important. We're going to shift gears here a little bit, and now we're getting to talk about gumbo. No, we're going to talk about gumbo. Sarah, what would you like to say about missions or your perspective? Of course, you come from a family, missions background.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself have been around a bit, and now you're for the first time. At living. 20,
yeah,
right?
20.
Living on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there were more 20-year-old guys on the field. That's what I wish.
Mm. That's what everybody wishes.
Well, okay.
Three girls here.
Yeah. Three girls here wishing that too.
But we're not desperate.
No, we're not.
No, but.
Oh, I didn't think so. Even though your parents married everybody like I did. Don't worry about
that.
Forget that. So. What can you tell us about your perspective on missions? Where is it going from your viewpoint? What do you see? How's that going to unfold? How's it going to change?
Are you talking about for me?
I'm talking about whatever you want to say about it. I mean, how you feel about
it. I think just with missions, like they were saying, like missions is changing a lot today. And just like the word in general, missionary, has a different meaning than what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, younger generations think there has to be qualifications to be a missionary.
Yeah.
And there's not.
Right.
God can use anyone to do anything. And I think a lot of younger generations think that, oh, okay, you know, like I need to be this super spiritual preacher to go and over there and just touch everybody and heal everybody. But it's like, no. To be a missionary, you can just go to a different country like me where, you know, serving God and being a blessing to those around you. And right now I'm on the mission field and I'm a teacher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of different than, you know, coming on a missions trip maybe for a week or going out and, you know, going door to door maybe to talk to some people, some neighbors about Jesus and saying a little something or a testimony and then praying with them and then leaving. It's different now because you don't have to be older. You can be younger. We're 20, 22, and we've been traveling. We've been doing things that a lot of people think they need to be, you know, 50 or, you know, older to have money and do things like that.
Yeah.
But I think that the only qualification you need is trust in God and having him so a part of your life that you have enough to tell someone else about.
Right. Yeah.
Growing up on the mission field, like I've always traveled to other countries and it's given me really a heart to be grateful for that because it gives me an experience that, you know, most people don't have. It's given me like a view of missionaries as, you know, something that's really good and can change depending on where you are. So I think that just saying like qualifications, you don't need any. God's going to take care of what you need in order to go.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people are called, but are too scared to go because they feel like they're not enough. They're not worthy, or physical things like money, you know, they don't have enough.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of people need to just, obey. I guess, yeah, obey and,
right,
and know that you trust in God is going to take you where he needs to go, because he's not going to lead you somewhere where he's not going to protect you or take care of
or
you.
Or provide or whatever.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I, you know, I was 27 before I really realized a personal missions calling. And the way it came to me, and I the first time I went on a mission trip, I was 17. So
yeah,
it was 10 years later that I realized there was something for me to do in missions. And it didn't occur to me personally. A guy came up to me and said something like, "Hey, I see something about missions for you." And I'm going, "Really?"
What?
You know, I just, I wasn't ignoring the guy, but I was kind of caught off guard. You know, I just didn't expect him to say that. I'd never seen the guy. I didn't know him. And then it was 7 more years before I actually got involved in missions from that time. But the guy planted a seed in me. And after I got out and made a few rotations, right, in that space, I realized, you know, I've had a missions calling inside this whole time.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a good way to discover it. You know, I didn't have a good way to find out or confirm it. Mm-hmm. Of course, after I started going, there were some immediate confirmations and important things that fell into place. But that's one thing I want to do. And I want to encourage you ladies. I mean, you got a lot of your life in front of you. I've got a lot of my life in front of me, but some of it is behind me already.
We have more.
Yeah, you have more. Wow. Much more, I hope. That's my hope. Just being sensitive to the leadership of the Lord, whether that's politics or a closed country or teaching in a foreign country or whatever it is, just be sensitive to that leadership, and the Lord will make a way. He'll show you the way. You know, I want to just encourage y'all that you know, you have a valid contribution. God's put it in you, and he's cultivating that. He's putting in you something of a seed, and then he's growing it. He's nourishing that.
Right.
And so what you're doing in missions now, and even your understanding of missions, as you obey, will grow. A lot of times we want the understanding before we decide to act, right? But most of the time, understanding happens as a result of acting or even after. Exactly.
That's true.
So I'm proud of you ladies. I thank you for jumping in here with me and having this conversation. If we want to catch up again downrange for gumbo or, you know, knock at the mile or something like that, we can do it.
Yes.
But yeah, that no, thanks be for being here and for sharing with me. Is there anything else you want to say before we conclude? Is there something else that somebody feels like impressed about right now?
Kind of. I think I could share something.
Will everybody?
Anybody want to share something? So this is the 2-minute warning.
Okay.
And I'll be lucky if I get 2 minutes out of each of you. I mean, is it really the 6-minute warning? Or is it 2 minutes?
I don't know. It's up
okay, 2-minute warning. Go ahead.
Okay. I do want to say, like, going off of what you were saying, that...
That guy.
The car.
We're trying to record here.
That a lot of people are scared to go on the missions field because it's out of the norm and out of the routine of what they're used to. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're called to the missions, of course, it's going to be something different. It's a different country, different things that they do that you don't do. But I think the Lord's growth in you comes out the most when you're out of your comfort zone. You can't grow and be and have an overflow of blessings when you're in the same position, saying, doing the same things, doing the same routines. And you don't experience other people's stories, other people's cultures. I just want to encourage like people to not be afraid to get out of your comfort zone and out of routine, because the Lord will grow you in something that's not comfortable for you.
Right.
So
Very cool. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, Sarah, do you want to go first?
Quite a punch.
Sure. Ending punch.
That was a felt punch.
Yes.
In a good way.
Yes.
Yes, Amanda.
Also, I think if you're going to a mission field, you also need to be part of the, like, let's say God is willing to do 50%, but you also have to do it all the 50%, because they're like, I heard people say, I want to get involved in missions, but I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God, you know, like look for internet or ask people, contact them, you know, try to get more involved in there. Because they're, I say, well, why shouldn't you just go ahead and talk with this person? It's just, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what to say. It's okay. You share, like, what your feelings are right now. And I think that, as Sarah was saying, that you need to get out of your comfortable zone.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, that means that it's not going to be easy.
Right.
But it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And it's not about me. It's not about God. How can I serve you? You know, because if I think about me, that I'm like, I'm just going to stay home and do what I like to do.
In your room.
Yes, in my room.
On your bed.
Watching Netflix. But I think that we need to be open and we need to have a different worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And something, I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago, that if you think that your culture is superior to the country that you're going, you won't be able to serve.
Wow. That's
true.
Because I think sometimes that I see, like, even sometimes I do the same. Oh, well, my country is better than yours, you know, and always comparing things. No, just be open and say, how can I serve you? Yes. How can I learn from your country?
Yeah.
And what things from my country can help you?
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I think also not to be stuck in a box and say, okay, this is what I believe. This is the correct thing. This is how I do it. No, just what can I do? What thing, like new things I can do now, you know? And so I think, just be open to whatever and be open to hug other people, to tell them, like, God love you, to serve them, to love them, just to show them who God really is, because we are the part and we are also the creation of God. And when I go to another person, I say, God exists because God is using me. You say, hey, God is using me. He can do it with you. We can share a testimony. And so here's my testimony. So God can still do, you know, he can do miracles in your life.
Wow.
And so just
So you're saying be adventurous.
Yes.
Step out, do some discovery.
Oh yeah.
Then be ready to embrace other cultures in a way that doesn't express self superiority.
Yes.
Very good stuff, Amanda. You hit me too. I wasn't gonna say it. Okay.
Well,
Angie's gonna, you know, she's gonna tie it all up and put a bow on it, I'm guessing. Uh-oh.
That's what I hope. No, well, a lot of things come to mind, but according to my recent experience, I believe that we're called to be faithful in the little things. And I think that most of us are called to go into the missions field. I don't know if that means actually going to another country or just being missionaries in our own country.
Yeah.
But we have to be faithful in the little things, because as Amanda was saying, sometimes we're just expecting for God to do everything.
Mm.
But God wants to see if he can trust us in where we are, in our home, with our own people. Because what's the point of being this perfect person in another country when you're not you were not showing Christ where you are?
Not being a good example where
and
you are.
And one of the things that I encourage, like, whoever's listening to this, is that you continue to grow in the Lord and you continue to love him and ask him to show you his love, because at the end, that's the whole point of missions. That's the whole point of going into the whole world, to actually preach the gospel, to actually share Christ in a practical way. And then I think just to finish, also to missions, there's a lot of minor details that we have to be thinking of. For example, getting our passport. Start taking those steps that will actually make us people that are available to go. Because we can say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to go. But as Amanda's saying, maybe I'm just in my room doing nothing. So we have to be practical, and we have to start doing those, like taking those tiny steps, baby steps that will show God, hey, I'm here. Whenever it's your time, and wherever you want me to go, and whatever you want me to do, please allow me to do it. And so I just think that we are to go and really, really be sensitive to God for what he wants us to do.
Very cool. And I really appreciate you saying that about the practical steps, because, you know, I remember having conversation with young people. I was, you know, involved in a mission school for some years, and, you know, people would be happy to sit down and describe this calling they had to, you know, like, way over here, way over there. But when we got down to like, oh, so you have your passport? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of times with missions, people romanticize the calling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, I feel gratified by the fact that I have a calling. Yes. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not really going to obey it, but I feel, you know, like, I feel like my personal self-concept is improved or made like substantial because I have a calling. You know, I don't have a passport, but I'm going to get around to it. What you're saying is like super important. And I'm really glad you said it because that is, there's such value in that coming from you. Mm-hmm. At your stage in life, at your steps that you're taking, it's very important. And for an old man to say that, it doesn't have as much weight. Thank you, ladies, very much for being with us.
It's an honor.
Thank you. I'll get some information to you about the link where you can share this with, you know, your
Booyah.
Anyway, yeah, thank you so much. I'll try to catch up with you later, maybe individually or as a group. Thanks for joining.
Annie is good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Catch you down range.
Okay.
This podcast made possible through the partnership of Engaging Missions Show, bringing missions home, and encouraging you to hear a message, make connections, and take action. Find out more at engagingmissions.com. Thanks for joining us for the FX Missions podcast from the forefront. If you'd like to find out more about FX Missions, please do so at our blog, fxmissions.com. Quite a bit of content out there. We hope you enjoy it. Also, if you'd like to rate us on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use, we would really appreciate it. And find out more about today's guest at our Facebook page. Just search for From the Forefront on Facebook. If you know of someone who should be featured on From the Forefront because of their forefront missions experience or exploits, please reach out to us at info@fxmissions.com. Thanks again for joining us. And until next time, I'm Scott McClelland, and you have a good one.